This is part one of a two-part program. This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only. Sex, Love, and Intimacy is sponsored by Audible. Classics, bestsellers, business books. Download your free audiobook from over 40,000 titles. Sign up for your risk-free trial at audiblepodcast.com/love. Join today. Cancel any time in the first 2 weeks and keep your free book as your gift. You're going to love being an Audible listener.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and today on the show, I have two of my favorite people that I've never met before. So, Celeste and Danielle, they are sexologists, sex teachers. They have a website, they have classes, they have workshops, and we're here to talk about sex. We're going to talk about what makes a good lover, and we're going to talk about orgasm, and we're going to talk about couples and singles and all kinds of stuff about sex. So just a little bit of background. Danielle is Dr. Danielle Harrell. She's a clinical sexologist, a pleasure activist, I love that term, and a professor at the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality. She has devoted the last 14 years to counseling and empowering couples, women, men, and groups. She graduated with a PhD and a Doctor of Human Sexuality degree from the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality in San Francisco. Danielle has a graduate degree in clinical social work and a bachelor's degree in psychology and educational counseling. Her partner here today, Celeste Hirschman, has made a lifelong study of sexuality, intimacy, and relationships, both inside and outside of the classroom. She is currently an assistant professor at the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, where she teaches the Sexological Bodywork Certificate Training. She received an MA in Human Sexuality Studies from San Francisco State, where she worked as a researcher at the Center for Research on Gender and Sexuality.
People are terrified from the possibility that bringing up this erotic energy means they would have to have sex with everyone, flirt with everyone on the street. But that's actually not what we mean. We mean like getting in touch with your own desire. It's yours. It's not necessarily about anyone else. It's really about feeling your desire in your body and embracing it and being with it. That's where the joy is. That's where the power is.
When you really accept that power and you embrace it in your body, then you have mastery over it and you can use it in the ways you want to. You can bring in flirtation if that's appropriate, or you can just bring in that sense of confidence and power if that's what's called for in the moment.
So women have amazing capacity to have different kinds of orgasms, from clitoral orgasms to G-spot orgasm, from cervical orgasms to uterine orgasms, from anal to nipple to imaginary orgasms. So women have a huge capacity to have orgasms. Women also are very emotional, and that's something that's not so, you know, acceptable in our culture. We're supposed to be very rational. And having a woman in bed, like screaming and moaning and groaning and experiencing different kinds of orgasm is an amazing possibility to have a window into women's emotional state and who women are, and how also for guys have an opportunity to connect with these parts in themselves that have less permission to be in touch with.
Everything that we teach is embodied. I mean, I guess you could say we teach embodied seduction. This is something that comes from deep inside. It's not something that you fake. It's not a bunch of lines that you memorize. It's not pretending to stand up with your shoulders straight and, you know, put women down and say all the right things to try to get them to have sex with you. Nobody feels good in those situations. And I think the long-term negative ramifications are disembodiment, erectile dysfunction, you know, lack of orgasm, not being able to feel your experience. I mean, you might be successful, quote unquote, a couple of times and get somebody to sleep with you, but you won't learn that what comes from inside of you is really what's important.
Welcome to the show, Danielle and Celeste.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I want to talk about sex. But first, I kind of want to know, why did you guys become sexologists? I assume each of you have your own story. How do a couple of nice girls like you wind up being sex counselors, sex teachers, sex therapists, sexologists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, it's so nice to be called a nice girl. I also like to be called a good girl. mostly because most of my life, I think I was a bad girl. I was always really interested in sexuality. And, you know, there's a lot of negative messages for girls around sexuality and whether they're allowed to really fully embrace that part of themselves. And I did anyway. And I kind of ignored those messages. And I always knew that sexuality was the realm in which I wanted to work. So it was like there was a personal journey. And then there was also an educational journey. I took some tantra workshops and some other embodiment workshops. And then I also got my master's in human sexuality studies. And I always knew I wanted to work with people and embodiment around sexuality.
So you're a classic case of do what you love.
Exactly. And love what you do.
And Danielle?
So I wanted to be a sexologist when I was a teenager, but that wasn't something that good girls do, so I didn't. But then when I moved to the U.S., I realized that I really want to help people be sexual. I did my own sexual revolution, and I decided that's something that everyone want to do. So I made it my profession, again, do what you love. And I met Celeste at the Training for Sexological Bodywork, where we realized that we are very aligned in our outlook on sexuality, and went to teaching people to get in their bodies around sexuality and really help people have the best sex they can have.
So let's talk about sex a little bit. You use a term on the website. You talk about erotic embodiment, and it seemed like that would be a good place to start. So what is erotic embodiment, and how does one get it?
Erotic embodiment is the lived feeling. It's basically feeling your life. So most of the time we walk around like computers kind of in our head processing information, and we sort of lose touch with our body. But sex happens in the body, and erotic energy is actually our life force energy. And so when you really get back into your body and you connect with your sexuality and you connect with that power that's available to all of us, it explodes your life. It makes your life exciting and interesting and motivated and fun and energetic. And you can walk around that way all the time. And the beautiful thing about erotic embodiment, aside from how good it makes you feel in your body, is how attractive it makes you feel to others. When you see somebody who's in their body in this way, you're just like, I want some of that. So we teach people how to be in their bodies in that way.
So doesn't that sort of, I love that idea. I love the idea of, so I'm an erotic being, it's my life force, and I'm deeply in touch with it. And then I sort of have this picture that I'm going around flirting with everybody, sort of being sexually suggestive with people. And doesn't that kind of get in the way of me having like primary relationships? And don't people just start thinking I'm harassing them or something?
So beautiful. People are terrified from the possibility that bringing up this erotic energy means they would have to have sex with everyone, flirt with everyone on the street. But that's actually not what we mean. We mean like getting in touch with your own desire. It's yours. It's not necessarily about anyone else. It's really about feeling your desire in your body and like embracing it and being with it. That's where the joy is. That's where the power is. And this is, you know, and it's safe.
Oh, I just want to add something to that. It's actually the fear of our sexuality that ends up with people spilling it all over the place. You know, when you try to clamp down on something and push it away and contain it, and it's such a powerful force, it has to come out some way. And that's when it comes out boundaryless and overly flirtatious, and when it comes out in ways that ruin your relationship instead of creating them. When you really accept that power and you embrace it in your body, then you have mastery over it, and you can use it in the ways you want to. You can bring in flirtation if that's appropriate, or you can just bring in that sense of confidence and power if that's what's called for in the moment.
So let me see if I understand this. I think what I'm hearing you say is my sexuality really doesn't have very much to do with the other. It's not out there, it's in here, and that's the embodiment you're talking about in erotic embodiment, that I'm just finding the erotic self that I am independent of whether it's focused at someone else or not. Yeah.
Yeah. So just think about who would be a person that you'll be attracted to. In attraction, there needs to be an I and a you. If people don't own their desire, if people are not connected to who they are, there's no spark, there's no energy. So we are very attracted to people who own their desire. So sexuality starts when there's an I in it.
And then you can make a conscious decision about who you want to share it with.
It feels like it's a little Pandora's box, though. It feels like you know, people, I think in corporations, in our jobs, we're really discouraged from actually embodying eroticism. And I actually think it's just totally about, left to our own devices, who would work? We would flirt and we would interact and we would, you know, everybody's all dressed up nice and they smell good and they look good. And, you know, why would we work except so they make rules to keep us? But then I think somewhere there's also kind of a, Are you suggesting somehow a life where I'm not actually ever having a primary partner?
No, not at all. In fact, I think what you said about will we work or not, we will work and we will work better, you know, because we will be in touch. This energy isn't just about sex. This is our life force energy. So when we go out to work, we bring all of our energy into that experience. We don't have to spill out our sexuality there. We have other places that we do that with our partners. We can decide if we want a single primary partner. We can decide if we want to be monogamous. We can decide if we want secondary partners. We make a conscious decision based on our connection with our body and our own desires, and we consciously negotiate that decision.
And again, being in your body is really about celebrating your own sexuality. It's not necessarily about who you choose to be your partner.
This is all great. Now, I want to talk about orgasms, and I want to talk about dating, and I want to talk about couples and singles, but I want to pause for a moment, give a chance for us to support our sponsors and for our sponsors to support us. Listeners, I want to remind you, I have quite a few sponsors that are offering special offers to you. So if you actually go to personallifemedia.com and look for the episode pages for Sex, Love, and Intimacy, my show, you're going to see that you can get up to 50% off on just about everything at adamandeve.com, that there's a deal at Audible, there's a deal at ice.com, that there's all kinds of savings for you, and that's what gets my show supported, and so I get benefit, you get benefit, the sponsors get benefit, we all win. So please visit the episode pages and take a look at some of the offers, and please do listen to the upcoming messages. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll be right back.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
At BetterSex.com, we hear about love lost and passion cooled every day. Our job is to bring the heat back to your love life. So here's a tempting free offer to introduce you to BetterSex.com. For free, get the Better Sex Video Series 3 DVD set, a $29.95 value discreetly shipped absolutely free with any purchase of $59 or more at BetterSex.com. Just use promo code HEAT, HEAT. Real couples and experts take you and your lover on an erotic education, enhancing intimacy, opening dialogue, and overcoming inhibitions. Watch it together, free, with promo code HEAT at BetterSex.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. I'm talking to Celeste and Danielle. They have a website and a bunch of workshops. They are sexologists, and we are talking about sex. And I kind of want to move into a whole conversation here about orgasm, because it fascinates me that when you go looking at workshops and classes, I notice that there are many, 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 many people, tantra teachers, kadoshka teachers, sex therapists, sexologists, sexological body workers. There's a lot of people teaching orgasm. And part of my brain just drops into, aren't our bodies like built to orgasm? Why do we have to be taught to orgasm? So can we start there? Like, why? What would be the value of having to learn this thing that our bodies do, because that's what bodies do?
So our bodies do some of it, and it's wonderful and great. And people kind of get the sense, the older they get, that they're missing something, especially when they start focusing only on orgasms. And when orgasm become this, like, the purpose of why to have sex. So when we teach people more about their bodies and about orgasm, we help them use this, again, energy and different kinds of orgasm that they can learn. Because some of orgasms, such as G-spot orgasm, is different, and many women don't reach it until they get older or do something purposefully to develop their G-spot. So some orgasm can be developed and learned. At the same time, with the orgasmic response can also develop, or people can get a entryway or a doorway to their emotional, to their emotions, to what they want for themselves, to different kinds of desires and needs and expressions.
I think the short answer to your question is yes, our bodies are built for orgasm. You know, it's possible to get there. The problem is that our society is built against orgasm, and that we get so many messages that distance us from our body, both men and women. So, you know, a lot of women aren't able to orgasm, but a lot of men have very quick ejaculation, or they have delayed ejaculation, or can't come at all with a partner. Those are all come from messages from society that say, you're not supposed to feel pleasure. You're not supposed to hold it in your body. You're not supposed to fully enjoy it. And so we distance ourselves from that pleasure. And sometimes we have to relearn how to really relax and enjoy our body in that way. And so we help people back to their orgasm, back to the knowledge that their body already has.
And I would assume that you draw from all these traditions in what you teach.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the wonderful thing about the fact that Danielle and I both have had a lot of different kinds of training, and we've had different kinds of training, so we've been able to help each other. So we draw from sexological body work, which teaches erotic trance and expanded full body orgasm, but we also draw from all the sexological research. So we have we look at the clinical studies that say this is how you learn how to control your ejaculation, or this is why delayed ejaculation happens. And so we both have access to the sort of more academic research-based information, and then we've taken our tantra workshops, and we've celebrated the body erotic and all of those kinds of things, so that we have more the energetic sense of orgasm. And both of those pieces of information are essential to help people, because you never know where they're blocked.
So it's my experience that men and women really have really kind of different experience. I hate to make generalizations, because I'm sure there are men listening who will identify with more with what I'm about to say about women, and there are women who will identify more. And yet, I meet about 1,000 people a year, and I do see this kind of general pattern. I have never met a man who got to be 21 years old and didn't know if he'd ever had an orgasm or not. But I've met a lot of women who actually get into their 30s without being sure. So I'm really clear we have a different relationship with our orgasm. But alternately, when I talk to men and women aren't really around and men are really being honest, there's some puzzlement about why, like, I have an orgasm, I grunt, it feels good, I like it, I roll over, I go to sleep. My partner has this orgasm, she screams, she's making these noises, she screams. And it seems like whatever it is that she's calling an orgasm and whatever it is I'm calling an orgasm, they seem to be different things. So I don't even know what the question is, but can you talk sort of about the difference between men and women and orgasmic response? Yeah.
So women have amazing capacity to have different kinds of orgasms, from clitoral orgasms to G-spot orgasm, from cervical orgasms to uterine orgasms, from anal to nipple to imaginary orgasms. So women have a huge capacity to have orgasms. Women also are very emotional, and that's something that's not so, you know, acceptable in our culture. We're supposed to be very rational. And like, having a woman in bed, like, screaming and moaning and groaning and experiencing different kinds of orgasm is an amazing possibility to have a window into women's emotional state and who women are. And also for guys, have an opportunity to connect with these parts in themselves that have less permission to be in touch with.
Yeah, I think there are some differences between men and women's orgasms. Although, you know, this research has shown when they have a bunch of people write down their description of their orgasm and they have researchers try to figure it out whether it's men or women, they can't, you know. So there is a lot of crossover in the way people experience orgasms. But I think what you said is one of the hugest differences. I do see women in my office who say, you know, they may be having the muscle contraction, but they are not having the joy associated with it. And so sometimes it's actually like a rebuilding of the joy of the body movements, of the sounding. All of those things have to be brought back in because they have been, you know, taken away. They've been robbed from women. We aren't supposed to really dive into our sexuality. And, you know, the honest truth is that muscle response without really connecting with it and enjoying it, it's just not that big of a deal, you know? And so we have to learn how to embrace, celebrate, and energetically experience our orgasm.
Yeah, I actually think that's one of the reasons that so many relationships have a kind of bed death after a few years, is because actually mostly what they're experiencing is sort of this physical release, and the least of what they're experiencing is touching that that erotic embodied place inside us where something is happening not just to our body, but to our thoughts and to our feelings and to our heart. And I get that people don't get very much of that, and then it kind of goes away over time because they don't know how to cultivate it. And then, you know, you meet couples that have been together 20 years and they don't have sex anymore because it was no big deal, you know, and that's kind of one of my sadnesses. I want to move off of I could talk about orgasm all day, but there's a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about. You guys, some of your workshops talk about extraordinary lovers, and I just kind of want to know what you mean, but what makes somebody an extraordinary lover, male, female? What are we talking about?
Well, you know, we teach men's workshops on how to be an extraordinary lover to women. And I think, you know, men are really like in the dark when it comes to a lot of things that women want. They don't quite understand what women mean when they say intimacy. They don't understand what women mean when they want, you know, emotional connection. And they don't understand what to do when a woman is freaking out and yelling and screaming at them. And we really break it down. I think being an extraordinary lover to a woman is not just about technique, although we do cover a lot of technique in the workshop. It's really about the whole emotional picture and how that they can feel powerful and confident and really self-assured in the midst of the fact that they've got this emotional person across from them. And how do they, you know, and they want to have sex with them and they want to please them and they want to really feel their own pleasure. And so we help them, you know, navigate those waters and really get to a place where they can feel their own personal power and masculinity and still really give women the kind of satisfaction that women are craving in the world.
Also, as you said, Chip, many couples forget that there is more to sex than just this physical release, and we really help men bring it to relationship because we look at men as messengers and because men are more likely to take a workshop like this than women would be, and we look at men as messengers to bring seduction back to relationship, to start, you know, like bring the confidence and bring the play back to relationship. So
okay, that word seduction, I want to jump on that, because I actually on my notes here I have a big one. You know, it's like I think of myself actually as a pretty seductive guy. So I like to flirt. I like the sexual energy that you're talking about. I actually think I'm fairly erotically embodied. I could learn more, but I definitely. So I noticed that the word seduction doesn't have a negative overtone for me. For me, it's... but I use that word sometimes with other people, and what they hear is manipulation, is trying to get your way. Like, seduction has become, I pick you out at a bar, and then I use all these tools and techniques to try to get you into bed, and you're never anything more than an object of my seduction. So can you say what you mean by seduction? Because that word's kind of gotten a bad rap.
Yes, blech, that makes me feel yucky in my body, that sort of manipulative way of trying to get into a sexual moment. So that's why everything that we teach is embodied. I mean, I guess you could say we teach embodied seduction. This is something that comes from deep inside. It's not something that you fake. It's not a bunch of lines that you memorize. It's not pretending to stand up with your shoulders straight and, you know, put women down and say all the right things to try to get them to have sex with you. Nobody feels good in those situations. And I think the long-term negative ramifications are disembodiment, erectile dysfunction, you know, lack of orgasm, not being able to feel your experience. I mean, you might be successful, quote unquote, a couple of times and get somebody to sleep with you, but you won't learn that what comes from inside of you is really what's important. So when you get into your own body, you get into your own power, and you meet somebody as another human being, not just as a body that you're trying to get inside of, then you really have a sexual and erotic experience that you will remember for the rest of your life, not some, you know, drunk crappy experience that comes out of, you know, a one night stand that you've manipulated somebody into. So that's the kind of seduction that we teach. And it's very, very different. And we teach both men and women to find that place of seduction inside of themselves. You know, we didn't really talk so much about our women's workshops, but we do start with women really getting in touch with their own sexuality and their own power in our workshops. But we also have a workshop for women on how to be extraordinary lover to men. And we teach them how to really get into their own seductive energy and power too, because seduction can happen from both directions. It might look rather different, but it's so much fun to feel it in your body in that way. Yeah.
What I notice is people focus on negative aspects of seduction. I think we get seduced all the time, and I think we actually like it. I actually think that's part of what's nice about life. I think we get seduced by displays in stores. We get seduced by the line of a car. We get seduced by puppies. We get seduced by, do you know that there's something which touches us, and there's no obstacle in the way of letting ourselves be drawn in, and it's a really sweet experience. So.
And it's also what touches our passion, and that's the communication between my passion and your passion is when we seduce each other. That's flirtation.
Yeah, could I just add, I think life is full of seduction. I totally agree. I mean, you know, people like to think that they make logical, rational decisions about things, but every marketer will tell you that's not how they make decisions, and they will figure out how to seduce you to do this particular thing. I mean, we are seductible and seductive creatures, you know, so if we acknowledge that part of ourselves, then we have much more power around it.
This is great, and I want to pause and give our sponsors a chance. We're going to take a break. Listeners, I just want to remind you, if you have suggestions for the show, comments about the show, ideas for guests for the show, I love hearing from my listeners. So if you send anything to me at chip@personallifemedia.com, I will get it. I will read it. I will act on it. And in fact, many of the guests we've had on the show have been suggested by listeners who heard one show and said, why don't you have so-and-so on? And so I really appreciate that support. Also want to say that if you hear something which catches your interest, or you think, oh, I've got to send that to my husband, or I've got to send that to my girlfriend, or please feel free to send the link of the show. That the way the show grows is by your willingness to put these interviews out into people who might not otherwise find them. So please feel free to send a link. And I also want you to know that every show is transcribed, and if there's a particular phrase that you notice you want to put on your computer, oh yeah, I gotta remind myself of that every day, well, I go on, look in the transcription, and you can just kind of pull that phrase out, and there you go. We're going to pause, take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. We'll be back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Do you suffer from BSL? IS, boring sex life, an all too common problem. Well, at bettersex.com, we have just what the doctor ordered. Here's our prescription. Get our latest adult education DVD, 32 Ways to Please Your Lover. But get it now. We change offers often. Heal your sex life. Use promo code FREE32 to get your 32 Ways DVD free at bettersex.com.
We're back. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August. We've been talking to Celeste and Danielle, and we've been talking about sex, and we've been talking about being a lover, and we've been talking about all kinds of relationship or sexual and relationship oriented things. I wanna stay with this lover thing for a little bit here. I noticed that in somewhere in your website there, you started talking about true sexual energy, and I had this moment of, is there false sexual energy, and what do we mean? You know, like, what is the distinction you're making? So can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So unfortunately, many people think that they can fake it. You know, they think they pretend that they can have sexual energy. They think that they can pretend to be enthusiastic about, you know, like their partners. But we're sensitive human beings and we really feel things, not only through what people say, but mostly the energy level that we feel from their bodies. So if people are not really emitting real sexual energy, we'll feel it.
Yeah, I think 80 to 90% of the information that we get from another person is really just reading cues in their bodies. And you can't fake those cues, you know, like you can do some things that are similar, but in a really instinctual level, you can feel if somebody's bringing their energy, their sexual energy, their presence, and you can feel if they're not.
And what do I tune into to feel that? Where do I listen to me? How do I do that?
Yeah. So that's why you need to become erotically embodied. Because when you get into your body in this way, you feel it automatically. If you're walking around in your body instead of your head all the time, if you can feel your chest, if you can feel your stomach, if you can feel your cock and pussy, then you can feel those different parts of your body will tell you, is another person there with you? Is their heart open to you? Are they there with you in their own power? Is there sexual energy there? If you're not in your body, you won't feel anything in theirs. You won't know what's going on.
In our coaching, we really help people see how we do it, and we give them feedback from our body and help them recognize this place in their body when they really connect with different kinds of energy, like love energy, desire, and all kinds of parts that are located in different places in our bodies. So we teach people to get in their bodies and to see how people read them from their bodies.
I've always experienced it as a kind of almost like sonar, that I have this experience that I know that I'm sending out some signal, and my experience is if I feel something bounce back, then that's that thing you're talking about, and that sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, and mostly it's not my receiver that doesn't feel the thing bounce back. Mostly it's that there's either something that's bouncing back or there isn't, and yeah.
And the other piece that happens is sometimes people's, you know, you actually help people get into their receiver, but all of their social messaging or their conditioning or their hurt that they've been through in the past makes them stop listening to their receiver. So it's like, they'll be like, oh, I see that look. That means that she's ready to be kissed. And they'll be like, but maybe she's not. And maybe I'm going to fail. And maybe I'm going to get rejected. And they don't lean in. And then what's happened? She's over there sitting and waiting with that open look on her face. And they've missed this amazing opportunity. And she feels rejected. You know, so if you're not tuned in and you don't actually follow through with your body when you feel that energy moving, you know, you can miss some amazing opportunities.
You guys are great. I could talk to you guys all day. Danielle, you said something about in our coaching, and this is what we teach. So let's pause for a moment here. And if people wanted to find out more about your coaching, if they wanted to find out more about your classes, your workshops, how could they find you?
They can go to our website, www.celesteanddanielle.com. They can also call me at 415-336-3258. Those are the best ways to reach us, yeah.
Celeste and Danielle, don't use the and sign. Actually, it's all words. Actually, would you spell it all out?
Yeah. There? CelesteanDanielle.
Terrific. So, and also listeners, as always, if you'll go to the episode pages at personallifemedia.com, you'll find links. You'll find a link to their site and any other links that they provide me with. So, it'd be really easy to find them. Two things. One is, I'm having such a good time. I just want to let my listeners know I've invited Celeste and Danielle to come back to do a second show. So if you're liking listening to this, just know that next week we're going to bring out a second part to this interview. But before we start thinking about next week, I always ask my guests, is there an exercise? Is there something someone can do at home that will help the sex, love, and intimacy in their life? And we talked about this a little bit, and you guys had some idea. So.
Yeah, so we always start erotic embodiment with breath. Any practice of embodiment, whether it be exercise or weight training or yoga or tantra, all of those things begin with the breath. So we're just going to give you a really, really basic sense of the breath work that we do. You can find a download on our website to get more of it for men. And if you're driving in the car right now, please don't start this breath work session. Wait until you get home. But what I want you to do now is just take a second and close your eyes. And just begin to notice your body. And I want you to take a deep breath in through your mouth and out through your mouth. And you're going to bring the breath first to your chest. So breathing in, just suck the air in a little bit on the in-breath. And then on the out-breath, you're just going to drop it out or release it like a sigh or a moan. And then on the next breath, you want to connect in with your stomach, bringing in the sensation and emotion that's held in that part of your body so that you can feel the connection between your chest and your stomach. So breathing in. Good. And on these next set of breaths, I want you to bring the breath all the way down into your pelvic floor, letting the muscles in your butt relax and really breathing down into your cock or your pussy and connecting with your erotic energy in your body. And as you breathe deeply all the way down, feel the connection that comes from the top of your head all the way down to the base of your body. This is the erotic channel where your energy can flow. If this is blocked by difficult emotions, doing this breath work and really beginning to get in touch with that flow will help you to relax and receive and connect with your own erotic energy. So you can take this breath, breathing all the way down to your pelvic floor, and you can just keep going with it as long as you want.
Wow, I feel better. Listeners, I hope that you do too. This brings us to the end of another show. I want to thank you guys for coming and talking to me. And as I say, we'll record another show, but I just really want to appreciate you for being here. Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. So much fun.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us again. You've been listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and please join us again for the next show.
This concludes part one. The interview will be continued in the next episode of this show.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.